This is the national radio broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
Once you said, Brother Imam, that business is dawah at one time.
Yes.
Business is dawah. Would you please elaborate on that a little?
Yes. Well, I tell you, I have many things in mind, but the thing that first came to my mind firstly was how Muslims of Indonesia became Muslims. It's a country now of millions of Muslims, and no one went there to convert them to Islam. Muslims, early history of Indonesia, Indonesian Muslims, tells us that the Muslim businessmen went to Indonesia to do business. And they liked Indonesia and decided to live there. And they made their home, made Indonesia their home. They were not preachers, they were not doing dawah. Like we associate dawah with preachers or with imams, you know, religious leaders who take care of the services for the Muslims on Friday, on the sacred day of Friday, the day of congregation or Jummah.
Okay.
Yes, they were not such persons. They were business people. They went there to make business, to do business, and they were such good neighbors to their neighbors, had such excellent business ethics or business morals and behavior that the people were attracted to them, and they became so much attracted to them that they start inquiring, what's your religion? Your religion is not like ours, so what's your religion? And the interest went from business to religion. It was not first religion and business. It was business, and then the interest went to religion. They inquired about the religion of those persons who were living among them, doing such excellent business, and respecting and caring about their neighbors, about their non-Muslim neighbors. Mm-hmm. Caring about protecting their interests when they were away from home. You live next door to me, while you're gone, I'm obligated, Islam obligates a Muslim to protect the interests of his neighbor while his neighbor's gone, whether he's a Muslim, Christian, Jew, or whatever, you know. So they were converted to the excellent behavior and hearts of their new neighbors, Muslims. Mm-hmm. Excellent behavior and business dealings.
Okay.
And their good heart as neighbors, very good heart as neighbors. And the whole country eventually became Muslim. Muslim. It's almost 100% Muslim, Indonesia.
So would you think that their fair dealing, their honesty, and their fair dealing with the business persons that were
yes.
dealing with them attracted them?
Yes. It was better. It was more than just fair dealing.
Yes, sir.
It was fair dealing, but it was also goodness, human goodness, the goodness of the human heart that impressed them.
Yes,
yes. They followed the Prophet's way of caring about their neighbor.
Yes,
and you know the Prophet is reported to have said that God pressed on him so much about his neighbor. Until he said, until I start thinking that the neighbor may inherit me. And what does that mean? The neighbor may inherit me. That the neighbor may keep his tradition and his works, his good works, in history and in the life of mankind, and not forget it, but cherish it and preserve it for others to read. Yeah. May inherit me. And it also can be carried a bit further. The neighbor that was non-Muslim may be converted to Islam and be the one to carry on the tradition of the Prophet. Mm-hmm. So the behavior of those people was so excellent. But If you look at business, period. Here's a man, he opens up a business in our neighborhood. And he's employing persons from our neighborhood. He's enabling them to have a better living standard. God appreciates every goodness. So his service then is service that God appreciates, and his service is also a kindness, a mercy, a compassion on the people. Mm-hmm. So God rewards him for that, and it's as though he did a religious deed. Yes, a religious deed. We should never forget what the prophet said when some men brought him a certain man and that performed all the rituals. He fasted, he prayed. So when they told the prophet of that man's merits, the prophet said, who takes care of him? And they said, we do. So you're better than he is. So you can pray 5 or 10 or 20 prayers a day, and you can fast all the days of Ramadan. But if you are not taking care of yourself, then the person who is taking care of you, that makes me think now. So those who are satisfied on welfare, the welfare department is better than them. By what the prophet said, the welfare department is better than they are. So they are just lazy, not working, not contributing anything to society, just praying and fasting and holding their hand out and saying, pay my bills, and pay my wife bill, pay my wife's bill, and pay my children bill from 4 wives. Pay their bills too. You know we got some people like that?
Yes, sir.
It's a shame. Another thing the prophet said, nobody enjoys a meal as much as the person, a son of Adam, which says that you're descended from an industrial person, a person that was given the creation to make use of it, and he developed the earth. He was the first one to start developing the earth to reap benefits from it for himself, his wife, his children, his descendants. So if you don't have that industry in you, if you don't have that spirit to want to work and earn your own income, earn your livelihood, then you are missing something that God put in you for your happiness. So no one enjoys a meal as much as the son of Adam who earned it with his labor. Yes. I'm a witness. And I've had it put into me by older persons that were before me. They say, son, never be satisfied to have somebody take care of you. Work, take care of yourself. Saying you'll feel like a man. Like a happy man. I add, like a happy man. Yes. Also, I was in visiting the Mormons in Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah, where they're concentrated. That's their land. And they were letting me see their charity that they were doing. Oh, they had, acres of land that they had put stores on, retail stores, and some factories. Collecting youth products and cleaning them up and cleaning them, having cleaning operation, you know, laundry operation to clean them, and selling them in the retail store. And it looked so attractive to me. It looked like a store that was selling brand new products, just newly made. That's how attractive and how well they were selecting garments to have them clean and pressed and sold. But they were also making food items, and many food items that they grew, and meats that they raised on the land, cows and chickens and other things. They had a big industry. The what I'm getting to is their symbol. The symbol that they had for their business and industry was a bee. And I asked them about that, and they were pleased. I could see it in their faces. They were so pleased that I was curious to know that something about their symbol, the bee. So they told me, yes, this is our symbol, and they just told me how happy they were to have that symbol. And I went home and reflected on it. You know, there's this whole surah in our chapter in our Quran, our holy book, called the Nahl, the bee, and Nahl. So anyway, I started thinking about it. I said, what is the message in that bee to man? The message is not that bee makes honey and honey is sweet, but that bee is devoted to working. And his life, the end result for his life is sweet. The end product. The end result for his life is sweet. So if we become a people devoted to creating and building, oh, we would be such a blessed people. Our life would be so sweet. We wouldn't be ugly natured. We wouldn't be hating people or looking for someone to put my burden on or to excuse for my short, to point at, to excuse myself for my own neglect or shortcoming. We wouldn't be like that. We'd be so happy and pleased over our results, the results of our efforts, of our labor, of our work, that we would just be smiling and loving one another. We never saw a bee attacking a bee. They work together so peacefully and so lovingly, and they have such a high level intelligence. If you don't mean them any harm, they ain't gonna bother you. I know, because I've lived around them. I stuck my hand in where they were nesting and did it accidentally. Pulled my hand away in fear, and they came at me too. They thought it was on purpose. But I stayed calm, and I guess I was saying, I'm sorry. That swarm of bees just came toward me and went right back away from me. Not a bee touched me. Yeah. They have such high intelligence. So I think we are missing a lot when it comes to knowing the value of human life and knowing what human life is on earth for, the purpose for human life on this earth. The purpose of human life on this earth is to make more use of it than any other creature created, than any other living thing. We are supposed to make more use of the earth and the creation, the material things that we have available to ourselves from earth. We have to make more use of that than any other living thing. That's why we're here. And your brain will judge you hereafter, in the judgment. When the final day comes for you to account before your creator, the brain will say, well, I had the capacity just like the other brains that other people had, but he never used me.
Brother Imam, we understand that we are to apply the religion in our everyday way of life. Mm-hmm. However, do we relate to religion in reference to business? How would we relate to religion in reference to business?
Yes. If we look at the advanced nations, the most advanced of all the nations that we know in terms of material achievements, material accomplishments, is the United States of America. the United States of America. And this country was founded by believers in faith, believers in religion. And it has been supported by believers in religion. People who came here to find a place that would permit them to live their religion and practice their religion without being persecuted or mistreated. We're talking about the Mayflower, the landing on Plymouth Rock, the first Christians to come to this land to establish their life. Since that time, every president of the United States, the government formed, nation United States formed, every government of every president of the United States have had to get the support from those, from Christians, mainly from Christians, to be elected and to serve as president. And this nation prospered. Prospered so much until it advanced beyond the old country and the old governments, Britain, Great Britain, the governments of Europe. It advanced beyond them and still advanced far ahead of them, far more than those nations, those countries back there. And these people came, the purpose was to have their religion and to have a place where they can relive their religion, their religious life, without being persecuted or mistreated because of their faith in God. God rewarded this country so much, huh? Now we come to Muslims. I leave that scene. I want to come. Want to look at it myself now. We are Muslims, and what accounts for the improvements in the life of the Arabs who were backwards? They say themselves that the time before the revelation, before God gave religion to them through Muhammad the Prophet, peace be on him, our Prophet, that they were a backwards people, and that they called that time that they were living in the time of ignorance, Jahiliyyah, the time of ignorance. So what account for them coming into a bright life and having a better future and getting their name in the history, etc.? Their religion. It was their religion. And every other people who embraced that religion, the Prophet didn't, in his own lifetime, he didn't leave it there, you know, in that small peninsula called Arabia. He took it to, he saw that it went to Persia. He saw that it went to what is called Iran now. He saw that it went to Africa, into Ethiopia and other places. And he saw that it reached the whites and the blacks. Huh? And as a result, their lives were improved, and their nations became great and productive, and their nations got a place in history as a result of that new revival or that new awakening for God's sake, for the pleasure of God. Yes. So you ask me about the relationship, huh? If we want to be bigger, as big as we can be in business, let's be as big as we can be for God. And then you will be the biggest in business. It's faith in God and pleasing God that has opened up the world to mankind and accounted for his great material progress, not only spiritual.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Did you have another question?
Are we on? I have a question.
Oh, yes.
Brother Ham, do you see a relationship between, you know, interests that we have in business, I think I already know what your answer is, mm-hmm. and the interests that we would call human concern, you know, mm-hmm. interest in business and, you know, the interest that we have.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes, sir.
Yes, 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 yes. These two are just by practice, habit, and practice and also in part by learning. We keep these two separated, completely separated. We have the man going into business, you know, he's okay. Look out, brother. You've been a good believer, but that you know you're going now. You're going after that money, you know. So they're kind of seen as threatening one another, you know. That if I become too good in religion, it will threaten my business progress, my reputation as a businessman. I might lose something from business. And the other way around, if I put too much interest in the business and I'm already established as a religious man, a nice or good religious man, that it might threaten that establishment for me. I might lose something from that establishment. Not necessarily so, you know. But we should remember that the better life is the life that God promises us, not the life that we plan for ourselves. But the better life is the life that God promises us. And he promises us that if we hold to religion, hold to our faith, and respect what God has established for our lives, that in the end, we are going to be given full rewards for that. We're going to get pleasure, happiness, and life eternal. Life eternal. That's what God promises us, you know. But he also wants us to know that the material benefits, the material rewards, are also for believers in God. These are for believers in God. God says in our holy book, say, who has said to my devotees, those who devote their lives to the worship of God, who have said to my devotees that the material things of this world is not for them? He says, oh, yes. On the contrary, these are for them. And exclusively for them in the hereafter. So all the criminals and bad guys going to be cut out of these blessings in the hereafter. And the blessings of the material rewards, are going to be only for the devoted servants of God. That's what God says. Mm-hmm. So yes, there is a difference. We have to recognize that. But as long as a believer puts God first, and puts his faith in God first, and his obligation to God first, he should not hesitate to engage business, making money, and he should not put any limits on how much money he should make. That's a fool. You never put any limits on how much money you can make. No, that would be ignorant, very ignorant. Mm-hmm. Yes, so that's another one. Yes, if there's another question, I can take it.
But then I just want to go back to the bee. I know you were explaining how the bee works. He works constantly, and the end results are sweet.
Yeah.
Now, how could that be applied, or can that be applied to the ant, being that the ant is a constant worker too, or is there not relevance there?
Yeah,
between those two.
But they don't give us sweets. They don't give us sweets.
Yes,
and you know the difference? The ant, his environment is not beautiful. He lives in trenches and holes and subways under the earth.
Yes,
dark, no light under there. But that bee goes for a beautiful product.
Yes,
it goes for a beautiful thing that God has created. It sees a flower and it's just attracted to it. It's attracted to something beautiful. And it makes the life so sweet and productive. So you find among human beings, those who are attracted to dark areas want to get down in the dark holes and carry on. And what they're dealing with ain't throwing off no nice aromas or anything. So they don't produce anything for us to appreciate. But that bee does.
Yes.
And not only humans, the bear loves that bee's honey product too. Big old bear, you just got to have him some honey. Got to have a little taste of honey. He just ate a whole big salmon. Weighed about 20 pounds, you know. But he find that bee's honey, he wants some of that too. And that's the way this, that's the way that the labor, the products and labor of a good person, a human person. He asked about comparison between the person who works for human, serve human life, and the person who works for money, you know. It can be the same, and it could be a difference. Yeah, could be a difference. But those who work for they're working for money to pay bills and support life, are working to as a charity to help relieve misery in the human community. No matter which interest is first, if their attitude is right, and if their spirit is right, for wanting pleasant life and pleasant things to happen, and pleasant things to develop or form for others, you know, if they have this desire to see things, to see misery move, and people living a pleasing life, then they have the interest of the bee, they have the appreciation for beauty and everything like the bee, they're living in the light, and they are gravitating toward the beautiful pictures. They might not exist in physical form or shape, but they're spiritually beautiful, you know? So this is a sign from God.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, buddy, ma'am.
And thank Allah for the bees.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we thank Allah for you, buddy, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, so we praise God, and we conclude with these words. We say, highly glorified is God. And we say, He is the one who has shown us our ways of profit, of labor and profit. And had He not shown us the way, we never would have found the way. Praise be to God, the Lord, sustainer of the world. Amen. Viewers and our listening audience, with peace. Assalamu alaikum.
If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive it in its entirety, you may call 708-862-7733 or visit wdmpublications.com. Ask for catalog number. For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call 708-798-6750 or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.